Hello, everyone. Hopefully you're having a fine Sabbath. Chelsea, as far as I know, things are coordinated here. My wife picked a tie out, so any complaints, send her the thumbs down. Blame it on her. If I can keep my tie in the center, we'll be okay. And also certainly glad to hear that Sabrina's allowing Corey more and more freedom. That works out really well. You know, some people just bloom late. That's okay, as long as you bloom. Well, brethren, I think we're familiar to some degree with the term strengthened in the Lord. We'll follow a scripture where David said, made that statement that he was strengthened in the Lord. People want to be strengthened, you know, and no matter in the church, out of the church, people want to be strengthened. They may not use that term, but they want to get their feet underneath and be solidified in some degree or another. The world, our country, for decades now has been awash with us different type of self-help books. You can go on Google and just start checking the self-help books and you'll come across all kinds of authors and stuff. There's one, Deepak Chopra. He's from India, which is always a warning sign. If it comes to any kind of self-help or religion, be careful. That seems to be a rat hole to go down. You're familiar with many of the names. Stephen Covey has a lot of business magazine books and stuff, and to try to help people. And one book I came across, just didn't purchase it, but just Googling, look at some of them. This one was titled Best Self, Be You Only Better. And it's authored by, it says, life coach Mike Bayer. That these people make a living supposedly coaching people, guiding people in ways to make them stronger, to get them strengthened. In reality, brethren, there is no lasting real strength other than the strength that a person can receive from God himself. I'm going to quote several scriptures here. I'm not going to turn to them. The short ones, two or three of them out of the Proverbs. This has to do with this business of strength. Proverbs 20:29 tells us the glory of young men is their strength. The glory of young men is their strength. When you're young, you have your strength, you're vibrant, you have all the strength, you're able to jump and run, and no challenge is, in many cases, is too great. Oh, young men glory in their strength. That's their physical powers is their strength. Proverbs 10:15 says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The NIV renders that scripture this way. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city or their strength. They rely upon their wealth. That is their strength. Could we use the term strength as their protection, the way of surviving, of getting through whatever the difficulty might be? So the wealth of a rich man is his fortified city or his strength. Many people in our day and age, of course, that proverb applied back then, it applies now. Their stock options and everything, that's their strength. You know, they have a good retirement or whatever the case may be, that they look at as their strength. But brethren, the time comes, obviously, when even money itself, currency, will fail. So no matter what that strength is outside of God, it will not ultimately stand the test of time. Proverbs 18:11 says, similar to what we read up in 10:15, 18:11 says, a rich man's wealth is a strong city and like a high wall in his own imagination. He imagines that to be his strength. I will survive because of my wealth. I can survive by my will. Strength, some people will find their strength or believe that they are strong because of their intellect. Very intellectual person, very astute. One who finds a strength in his intellect is one who is able to grasp and understand complicated concepts. He's able to grasp them and understand them. He's strong in academic matters. He has a high and large capacity for knowledge. That's his strength. He views that as his strength. And Psalms 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we remember, as it says in the scripture, we remember the name of the Lord our God. And by remember, it means as a source of strength. So some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember, we will find our strength in the name of the Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. On this aspect about our inclination for people to find their strength and their wealth or whatever they may possess. Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool. Let's pick it up in verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said, Christ said to them, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And then he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. They are not ultimately going to serve you well. Then he spoke a parable, saying to them, the ground of a rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He is strengthened in his mind, strengthened by what he possesses. But God said to him, well, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So that parable from Christ, again, a warning about finding your strength in anything other than God himself. But we're going to look into that today, brethren, this aspect of strength. And the only true source of strength is God, your relationship with God. Ephesians 6:10 tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So a direct quotation there from Paul saying, brethren, be strong in the Lord, because that is the only true place of strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our battle, brethren, as we know, any of those who have been associated with the truth for any period of time, our battle is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. Money, physical powers, political connection, good looks, finesse, all are ultimately useless. You know, there has been in the course of history, in the course of time, even in our modern times, which go back to the history of people who have been in the church for any length of time, there have been men who would have appeared to be very strong in the truth, very strong in the faith, very strong in the truth. And in some cases, they lost their wife. And in time, they left the truth. So they were never strong in the truth. They never found their strength in God. They were strong through their spouse. They found their strength in their spouse, and vice versa. There have been women who would appear to have been very strong, strengthened in the Lord, but they've lost their husband. They lose their husband through some circumstances or another. And in time, they have faded away because their strength was not in the eternal. Their strength was in their spouse. The only thing that holds up is your relationship with God. 2 Timothy 4, and verse 17. 2 Timothy 4:17. We're going to go back to verse 16. Paul is, I believe at this point, he's imprisoned. And he's in this letter to Timothy, he's writing, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Then verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Paul, the great apostle, abandoned in a prison. Nobody stood with him, but he actually says the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So Paul said, all forsook me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In Joshua 1, the first chapter of Joshua, God speaking to Joshua, Moses has died. Joshua has been selected, chosen by God. He's going to now lead Israel. And he says, I will be with you, God says to Joshua. And three times God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Three different times. Again, I'm not going to turn there, but three times in that, in the first chapter of Joshua, God says, be strong and of good courage. He's saying, Joshua, find your strength in me. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. And we have a transition that obviously we have to make as the people of God, because God has not called the elite of the world. It just hasn't. There may be a few in times. Obviously, the Apostle Paul was a very incredibly capable man, very zealous. God just redirected that zeal in the right way. But 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, Paul here in his letter to the Corinthians says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." So God has called basically the weak of the world, not the privileged, not the super elite by any means whatsoever, but yet we are to be transformed into strong people, people who are strong. Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11. There's this transition that has to take place in our lives. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, which we know characterized quite often as the faith chapter. It lists these incredible list of people who were strong in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. And again, we know that chapter is talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, many faithful patriarchs and women of old. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 33, "Who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong." Out of weakness, we're made strong. So we got this transition that needs to take place within the people of God, where God has called the weak of the world, not the mighty, but the weak, and transition into people who are strong. As it continues here in verse 34, "Out of weakness were made strong. They became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again." So this transition that needs to take place. And it takes place only when we are strengthened in the Lord. Where it says they're out of weakness, we're made strong. The word weakness there, it can mean, if you look into that word, it can mean feebleness, taking a feeble people, people with frailties, and made strong, made powerful, made sure, made vehement, made strengthened. But it's all through the power of God. You go through the Old Testament, and we'll cover a little bit of it. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 will begin. We'll look at a few personalities here, leaders, some who were strengthened by God, some who appeared to be strengthened by God, but did not hold up. 2 Chronicles 20 and Jehoshaphat, he is faced with an attack. Jehoshaphat feared and sought God. And verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20, and it says, "O our God," so Jehoshaphat knows he's in difficulty, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." So this man is clearly looking to God. "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." We're seeking strength, God. We're seeking strength. We're not looking to cobble together a treaty with another nation to come in and help us in the face of this foe. We are looking to you. Drop down to verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God." Why? Because they strengthened themselves in God. "Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Zig. There you shall find them by the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." It's what happens when people are strengthened by the eternal. Jehoshaphat turned to God. He looked to God. Jehoshaphat died in the course of time. He died, and his son Jehoram reigned in this place. Jehoram strengthened himself, but not in the Lord. Let's go to chapter 21. Yeah, 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And, well, verse 1 gives us the setting a little bit. Jehoshaphat rested, who was a gentleman we spoke about earlier, rested with his fathers and was buried with his father in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. Drop down to verse 4. Now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all of his brothers with the sword and also others of the princes of Israel. But this gentleman, Jehoram, strengthened himself. He didn't strengthen himself in God. He strengthened himself. It means he cobbled together the military leaders, the political leaders. He made the alliances that he needed, in his mind anyway, to secure the kingdom. But he did not strengthen himself in the Lord. Now, Jehoram had a huge mistake here. Talking about dabbling outside your strike zone, as Andrew was mentioning, Jehoram had the daughter of Ahab as his wife. Oh, my word, you go back and read that. What an education there. Athaliah was her name. Well, Jehoram received a letter from Elijah, and let's go to 2 Chronicles 21:12. Interesting the way this is worded. Speaks of this man who strengthened himself in himself. 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 12. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, basically here, pronounced judgment on him. And in verse 20, I always found this interesting. He said he was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. They didn't bury him the way they buried Prince Philip. Nobody sorrowed the passing of this guy. Well, Jehoram's youngest son, Ahaziah, now became king. His older brothers had all been killed earlier by raiders, and Athaliah, the mother of this gentleman, steered Jehoram into a path of wickedness, and they did not strengthen themselves in the Lord. He took counsel from the house of Ahab because he was taking counsel from Athaliah. In time, he was killed. This gentleman, Ahaziah, was killed by Jehu, whom the Lord had appointed to destroy all of the house of Ahab, carrying out a mission God had given to him. Well, there was one gentleman, I'm going to have to skip part of the story just for time's sake, because Athaliah had all of those who could ascend to the throne. She had them all killed. There was her own grandchildren. She had them all killed because she had herself in a position of power now. She wasn't about to give it up. So anyway, so she had all of her grandsons killed, but there was one of the grandchildren was hidden. One of Ahaziah's daughters, Jehoshabeth, took Joash and hid him away for 6 years. Now, he was hid away by this lady and her priest husband, Jehoiada. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. But he was hid away. And eventually, they brought him out. He ascended to the throne. Athaliah was disposed of, thankfully, and he was now on the throne. But the interesting thing about him, let's go to 2 Chronicles 24, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, and let's pick up a few verses here where we read, Joash, he was the young child that was hidden and then eventually came to the throne. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. As long as that priest, the one who actually he and his wife hid him and raised him, as long as that priest was alive, Joash did what was right. So it would appear he was not so much strengthened in the Lord, but he was strengthened in Jehoiada, the priest who raised him and reared him. He strengthened himself in the priest. Again, that's a key verse there, brethren, where he said that as long as the priest was alive, he did what was right. And many good things were done underneath him during that time. We're still in chapter 24, but let's pick up another verse in verse 14. When they had finished, this is breaking into the middle of something here. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada. And they made from an articles for the house of the Lord, articles for servings and offering, spoons and vessels of gold, silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continuously. When? For how long? All of the days of Jehoiada, the priest. But after he died, after the death of, and verse 17, we find out that after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah who were influenced, they swayed the king, Joash. They swayed the king, and the king listened to him. And Judah once again served other gods. God sent a prophet to warn Joash of this, a prophet to bring them back to the Lord. One of them was named Zechariah. Zechariah was the son of Jehoiada, the priest who reared Joash. Joash had him murdered. He had the son of the man who reared him murdered. In time, Joash was murdered by his own servants on his bed. Joash did not find his strength in the Lord. He did not find his strength in the Lord. It would appear that what strength or conviction, however you want to word that, whatever strength or conviction that he had, it came from Jehoiada, not from the eternal God. Joash was followed by another son, Amaziah, and the story goes on. And Amaziah, and we'll be in chapter 25 now, chapter 25 and verse 11. Again, we're seeing how man does not have an inclination to be strengthened in God. Man has an inclination to find his own way, to strengthen himself. And again, his physical powers, his money, his looks, his finesse, his gift of gab, whatever it is, people see this as a way through life and they don't get strengthened in God. Verse 11, then Amaziah, 2 Chronicles 25, then Amaziah strengthened himself and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. But you see, they strengthened themselves. They strengthened themselves, defeated the Edomites and brought foreign gods back to Jerusalem, because he wasn't getting his strength from God. And then you read on, and it ultimately brought about his destruction. Then let's pick up one more here in 2 Chronicles 26. Uzziah, interesting comment regarding him. This would be 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Amaziah became king at the age of 16. And let's pick it up in verse 5. Speaking of Amaziah, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. But in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. When he was strong, that means he was strengthened, right, brethren? When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction because he found his strength in something else. He found his strength in his chariots. He found his strength in his army, in his soldiers, whatever it might be, but it wasn't in God. Let's go to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms 27. I believe this is one of David's Psalms, if I'm not mistaken. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord, I think I referenced this verse earlier. The Lord, it is a Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What a wonderful, wonderful statement, brethren, for any human being to be able to make. The Lord is the strength of my life. That means the strength. That means, brethren, the place or means of safety or of protection is the stronghold of my life. He's saying the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We're going to go down to verse 11, Psalms 27, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. See, he is seeking, brethren, to be strengthened by God. He's seeking to be strengthened by God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence against me. Continuing in verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart if you wait upon God. If you wait upon God, if I wait upon God, it says he will strengthen your heart. And then he finishes that psalm, and that psalm is finished with those few words. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And as we're strengthened in the Lord, we wait upon the Lord. Let's go to 1 Samuel, another example of David. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30. David is in battle, and he is away from the camp where the ladies and the women and the children are. And the Amalekites come in, and they didn't kill any, but they took captive all of the women, all of the wives, mothers, daughters, all of the children. They are all taken captive. And the people with David are ready to stone him. They're horribly upset about this whole situation, as one could understand. 1 Samuel 30. So while David and the soldiers were gone, the Amalekites come in and take captive the women and the children. And verse 6, then David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And then the key to the end of that verse, brethren, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He didn't, at this point, take a census of his soldiers. He strengthened himself in God. Now, he made that mistake later, as Mr. LeBlanc covered that recently. He made that mistake later in his life by taking the census and counting his troops, counting his horses, counting his chariots. But here it just simply says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And he mounted an offensive, and he brought all the women and children were brought back. In 1956, I looked this up, I remember it vaguely in my memory, there was a book written by John F. Kennedy, JFK, called Profiles in Courage. Is actually, I think, what they call that term, ghostwritten by, I can't remember the guy's name. But Kennedy wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. And in this book, he profiled 8 different United States senators and their experiences. And again, the title was Profiles in Courage. Well, let's look today and let's look at a few profiles in strength. Profiles in strength that the Bible shows us, because we want to learn from these. We want to emulate these people. We want to emulate these people in our lives, not by putting it on, but by living it, by being it, by having God within us. Let's look at some profiles in strength, people strengthened in the Lord. I'm just going to reference some of these without turning to them, because I know you have them well in your memory. You know the stories. Think about Esther. Remember Queen Esther? Remember, Haman had hatched this plot to get rid of all of the Jews in that empire. And he had successfully got the king to sign the petition that this would be done. And word got to Mordecai. He knew of it. He got word to Esther. He says, you need to do something about it. You know, you're in a position. Maybe God puts you in this position you're in for this very purpose. And Esther said, okay, you fast, you and your people. You fast and pray for 3 days and 3 nights. I will do the same. And what did Esther say when she returned the answer? She says, I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. That's a profile in strength. That's a profile in strength. If I perish, I perish. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were threatened with the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar's burning fiery furnace. And here's a profile in strength. You could say profile in courage as well, I guess, as Kennedy titled his book. But here is a profile in strength. And they answered, they were threatened with a burning fiery furnace, and their answer, O Nebuchadnezzar, this is in Daniel chapter 3 or 4, I believe. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Profile in strength. That's a profile in strength. Some people who receive strength from God, who follow the pathway of God. Think of Jesus in the garden. Again, I'm not going to turn there. You'll find it, among other places, in the latter chapters of Matthew, probably around chapter 26 or 27. Remember in the garden after the Passover that he held with the disciples, he moves into the garden. And it says, he went a little further and he fell on his face. Profile and strength. He went a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Perhaps that, brethren, is the ultimate demonstration of strength, of what Jesus showed us. So we have these profiles of strength in the scripture. And again, just mentioned these few here: Esther, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus in the garden, and I have another example of Jesus as well. So, brethren, what is it to be strengthened in the Lord? What is it to be strengthened in the Lord? What does it look like? Well, we have those examples we just covered, but what does it look like? Let's look. Peter gave us one example of it. Let's go to First Peter and chapter 2, 1 Peter 2. So what does it look like? What's some behavior that you would see in a person who is strengthened in God? What type of behavior would come from you if you're strengthened in the Lord? What behavior would come from me if I'm strengthened in the Lord? 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up, I believe, in verse 19. This is a letter of the Apostle Peter. "For this is commendable," he writes in verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 2, "for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." That is a profile of strength, Peter is telling us. "For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults and you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Now, only a person strengthened in the Lord will do such a thing as that. "For to this you were called," Peter continues, "for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who," verse 22, "committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. But when he was reviled," this is a profile in strength right here, brethren, verse 22, "who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." So he was reviled. And Christ, remember, he was silent. He didn't revile back. That's a profile in strength. That individual who does that is strengthened in the Lord. He is strengthened in the Lord. So to be strengthened in the Lord, brethren, in many ways, it means, might reduce it down, distill it down a little bit more, it is to trust. It is to trust God. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer, says, "King, you can throw us in that fiery furnace. We know that. God can save us from it. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to follow. We're not going to bow down to the image that you've set up." So profile and strength, brethren, are to be strengthened in God. It is to trust. And now remember Romans 10:17, where it tells us, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. One's life must be built upon the scriptures. Your life has to be built upon the scriptures. Your conduct, your behavior, your reaction to the situations that develop in your life, as we just read there in Peter about Christ, about Jesus, said when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. In order for that to be within us, brethren, our life has to be structured by the scriptures. As Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said to Timothy, he said, "Continue in the things which you have learned." Continue in the things which you have learned. And then Paul adds, and I think verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." Those scriptures have to be within us, brethren, deeply within us. That is how we are strengthened by that. When you consider, let's go to John 17. John 17. We're strengthened in the Lord as we live obediently to the Lord, as we trust him. John 17, which would have been read at the, obviously at the Passover each year. Let's go back and pick a few verses up there. John 17 and verse 14. Christ, in these final hours of his life, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify, and to sanctify, brethren, means to set apart, to set apart. So Christ is asking the Father to sanctify or to set apart his followers, particularly the apostles, the disciples who are with him at this point in time. But he's going to add in just a few verses here, not only them, but those who will believe through their word. So sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified in the truth. Then verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as we are one. And it continues down that theme. But Christ prayed, but you were sanctified, brother, made strong by the word of God, as it says in those verses that we covered there. You sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That word needs to be inside of us. You know, what we call, or what is commonly called, the four Gospels of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What are these? And again, we are set apart by the word. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these people were witnesses of the life of Jesus Christ. They were witnesses, two of which, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, two of which were eyewitnesses, that being Matthew and the Apostle John. They were eyewitnesses to the life of Jesus Christ in his ministry. Now, Mark was apparently closely associated with the Apostle Peter, and it would appear that he obtained much of his information from Peter, who was, again, firsthand. Luke sets it clear in the beginning of his gospel that his whole purpose was to write an orderly account of Jesus' life and the many of the great works that he did. Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, Luke traveled with Paul and was with Paul at the time of his final imprisonment. But all of these authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are witnesses in one form or another. Again, Matthew and John, eyewitnesses, and our books that we have before us here in the scripture, it is their testimony. It is their testimony about Jesus Christ and the word of God. It is their testimony. Do you believe, do I believe their testimonies? Do I believe their testimonies? Because in that, brethren, is strength. You believe it. And again, as Christ said, verse 20, going back to John 17 for a minute, as he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. For those who will believe in me, Jesus says, through their testimony, which Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are their testimonies. As we believe those, we are strengthened. And verse 20, I'm going to go to John chapter 20. Let's go over to John 20. And verse 29. Remember, Thomas, Jesus had appeared to the other apostles. Thomas was not there. And Thomas had made this statement, you know, unless I put my finger and touch the wounds of his hands, put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Well, another occasion arose, and Jesus is appearing to him, and Jesus said to Thomas in verse 29 of John 20, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. And then Jesus adds this, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You haven't seen. I haven't seen, have we? Neither of us have. But we believe the witnesses. We believe the firsthand account of Matthew and John. We believe Mark and Luke because they were closely associated and got their information from those who were witnesses. As one brings that, as you bring that within you, as I bring that within me, we are strengthened in the Lord. We're not strengthened, as I mentioned earlier, not strengthened as Joash I believe, was the one who was strengthened by his high priest who reared him. But when he passed on, Joash didn't have that strength. It's not the wife who was strengthened by her husband, but not by God. It is not the man who was strengthened by his wife, but not by God. It is those who are strengthened in the Lord. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. As one reads the four Gospels, you are hearing the testimony of men who walked with or near Jesus. The decision is really somewhat simplified. Do you believe their testimony? Do you believe the testimony of these individuals and live by that testimony? As we hear, we read, we believe, we trust, we are strengthened. Isaiah 66. Let's go to Isaiah 66. It is the only strength, brethren, that lasts. It doesn't matter how strong you are physically. It doesn't matter if a person, a young man in the prime of his life, that strength is going to fail you in time. It will not endure. Go back and read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It's not my notes, but there's a process of life. But you can finish stronger in the Lord if you take to heart the teachings of Scripture. But Isaiah 66, let's go there. And we'll just pick it up in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. That is a person who has been strengthened in the Lord. He lives by the word of God. On this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. A contrite spirit, brethren, loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, that is strength in the Lord. Those things, as we look back at those people, and as we cited Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Queen Esther, Jesus in the garden, what Peter said about Jesus, who was reviled and did not revile in return, that is a profile of strength. And then let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Chapter 9 of Jeremiah, let's be our final scripture. Jeremiah chapter 9. So many people, we see it around us. We live in a material, physical world. People are impressed by wealth. People are impressed by physical powers, all kinds of different things like that, that people are impressed with. All of those things fade. They all fade in the course of time. But Jeremiah 9 and 23, let's turn there. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And I think for the sake of our discussion today, brethren, we could say, find his strength in his wisdom. Yeah. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Don't find your strength in your might. Don't find your strength in your wisdom. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, I'm going to again use that, find his strength. It's not in a violation of the scripture there. That is what it's conveying to us, brethren. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. As those things are within you, as those things are within me, you are strengthened in the Lord by those things, not by physical powers, by exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Those are things, those are elements of somebody who is strengthened in the Lord. So be strengthened, brethren. Be strengthened. Find your strength. Be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in his loving kindness. Be strengthened in his judgment and his righteousness. The world and its systems will look past you. If those qualities are strong in your life, the world and its systems will look past you. But the creator and the sustainer of the universe will look upon you as one of his own, because you found your strength in the eternal, and that is the only lasting strength.